It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You know, I remember a long time ago there were these loans where people could pay interest only and they would fluctuate up and down with interest rates. And then they really caused a lot of problems. And I understand they're back. What's going on?
Well, nearly 1 in 10 loans were adjustable in this past spring. And that's an increase from 1 in 66 5 years earlier.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're seeing them come back.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if somebody is truly qualified, these aren't bad products. In a lot of ways, it helps, you know, people out. But they are starting to come back. This will help with credit issues. You know, we were talking last week about Ben Bernanke being able to get a loan. Well, maybe if you got an adjustable rate mortgage or piggyback something, because I'm sure you can afford something.
All right. Well, there's risks, though. Okay, there's risks. So when interest rates are high, an adjustable rate mortgage might be a good thing, because if rates come down, your rate and your payment will come down. However, we are at historic low interest rates. So now the rates on these adjustable rate mortgages are very, very low. And if rates start to rise, people better be careful that they have enough money to cover their mortgage expense.
That's right. These can be dangerous if you're not really in a position to be able to do them.
Right. So don't go in there thinking, wow, this is such a low payment, I can afford this, because it's an adjustable rate mortgage. The word adjustable is in there. Pay attention.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. You also have a report here that mentions the four U.S. cities that are the tops for luxury home price increases. Which are they?
Well, Miami ranks 7th worldwide.
Okay.
Increase, and we're talking luxury home prices. But in the United States, three others were: Los Angeles was number 2, San Francisco was number 5, and New York City was number 11.
Not really that surprising, I guess.
No, there's no surprise in that. But there's interesting, you know, on this 33 world top city luxury markets, Jakarta in Indonesia still ranks way up there, with prices rising 27% year to year.
I'm sure some of my listeners know why that is the case. I have no clue, but maybe the surrounding countries and people are moving there.
Well, Tel Aviv was 3rd,
okay. Well,
14%.
Okay, well, lack of land may have something to do with that. So how much did luxury prices rise in Miami?
They rose in Miami about 16% year to year in September.
Has that continued on? Is that rate of increase still continuing?
Well, it fell a little bit over the past 6 months. It ebbs and flows a little bit, but mm-hmm. The luxury market is strong in South Florida.
Now, for our listeners that are in the Midwest, I don't expect you to know about this, and I bet you a lot of South Florida listeners don't know about this as well, but there are condominiums, right? And now there are dock-a-miniums. What is a dock-a-minium?
Well, this is the great comeback, a selling storage for your boat like a condominium.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept is basically, you know, if you have a big yacht, you have to put it someplace, and you usually rent that space. Well, now they're looking to build marinas where you can buy that space. And not only are you getting that dock space, and the prices can range from $35,000 to $90,000, and they certainly can go significantly higher than that for large mega yachts.
And you still have to pay the monthly maintenance fee as well.
Yeah, I would imagine, absolutely.
Yeah, you do.
And they have, like, with it, there'd be like a little club house that goes with it and some social things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give you an idea, it can run you about $22 a foot in this local marketplace to rent a place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at over $1,000 a month on a 60-foot boat. It could save boaters a lot of money if they're going to own a boat for a long period of time, if these dock-a-miniums take place and then you can sell them. I don't know. It's a new...
Yeah. I remember when things were really hot, these things were really flying. I mean, the prices were astronomical. And then after the real estate collapsed, these prices collapsed as well. I guess that would have been a great time to buy them looking back right now.
Yeah, and they're very popular in Europe, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I know that you mentioned here that the Bluffs Marina in Jupiter, Florida, sells a 60-foot wet slip for $148,000. So I guess if you have a 60-foot yacht, $148,000, probably not all that much. But there's dry docks and racks, and of course, wet ones as well. Let's change subject here. And you know how much I love your real estate survival guide, Terry. And here's a question from there. For those of you who live and have to suffer with a Homeowners Association, which can, of course, be a very, very positive thing. Here's a question. Can an HO board take action against deadbeat owners?
Yes. Homeowners in a certain development, you have to pay attention to what's going on over there. There are many reasons why associations might start to run low on money, and a lot of it has to do with unexpected repairs, or, quite honestly, people don't make their payments. They're not able to continue to make their mortgage payment, and in turn, they can't make their association fees. So that starts to run up the expenses in a community. And as a result of that, they can make a special assessment to the remaining people, because in order to run, you know, the facilities and keep the pool clean and, you know, all the amenities that they offer in operational condition, they need to have the funds to do so.
So they can go after you if you don't pay.
They certainly can go after you if you don't pay, and they certainly can assess the remaining homeowners to make up for that shortfall.
All right, one final question. We are selling our condo with a closing in 2 weeks. Our buyer went for his interview with the association's board a couple of days ago. He called us last night and said he got a call from a board member who told him that he could not buy the unit because the board member is going to buy it instead. Is this legit?
It is legit, and it's called first right of refusal, and you need to look in your condo docs to see if that exists. It doesn't affect the seller in any way because they're selling it at the same price. That board member has to, you know, adhere to the same terms and conditions, or more, I guess. But they do have that right to do so. And in a lot of cases, it's to protect the values of the community. For example, if things start going downhill really fast and a seller decides to sell his place for $50,000, well, you know, a board member can go in there and pay more for it.
Yeah, doesn't seem fair.
You know, keep the values safe. Yeah, it's not fair. And not all condos have this first right of refusal.
Okay. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida, and can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.